that his
I whooped his tail.
voice box was what? What was it? Jay, did you hear it?
His voice box was crushed, or
his
larynx
broke, or something.
He sounded awfully good today to have a crushed voice box.
Oh
man,
what about that?
Can we turn that? I can't say that word on the air, but can we turn that off?
You're going to be hearing that again come December 31st, Jason.
I'm about to say, I mean, if you're feeling left out, well, we can put Nick Saban on there and let him talk about,
that's right.
You know, what's going on.
Yeah. Right? But he's pretty.
His, honestly, I'd rather hear Nick Saban. Horrible certain songs.
Well, do you think you'll get to hear the Auburn Fight song on TV?
Oh, yeah.
Well, is that game going to be on TV?
Yeah. If they're paying you for your jokes, you're going to be in trouble.
My next question is it going to be emceed by the Birmingham Man and the Council?
at halftime.
At the Birmingham Bowl.
At halftime, out on midfield, they're going to rumble. What's the old guy, let's get ready to rumble, you know, used to do that.
Yeah, so. The Birmingham Mayor can't do that. So. Hey, one announcement to make.
Is this serious?
One of our usuals. I've been serious the whole time. You and Jay's one that took this road south. So.
I'm sorry.
Literally.
Jason. I'm apologizing with a straight face, I promise you.
One of our regulars not going to be with us today, Chris Andrews.
Did he get in a fight, too?
I believe you have been in a sauce
did
today.
Did he get in a fight, too?
What is in that cup, Ronnie?
He didn't go milk shopping with Eddie,
sorry.
Did he?
I'm sorry. Chris is not going to be with us today.
Yeah, I'm trying to make an announcement here, and the owner of the station and my partner has both been in the sauce.
We refuse to cooperate with you.
Coleman City Police, Coleman County Police, up on 157 about 6 o'clock, you want to ride a DUI.
Being a black GMC.
Now, Chris owned his way to somewhere.
Somewhere.
Out west, I don't know, and said that. Yeah. Cell reception would be in and out, and thought it would be better if we just skipped today.
Skipped him today. In other words, he didn't want to join us.
And after his picks last week, I may know why.
Did he bomb?
Oh, yeah. Well, he did hit the Oakland Raiders. You know, he said he was going to take them straight up against Denver, and he won that one.
Did he cost you money for entertainment purposes only?
No, he didn't. No. I've made that withdrawal and kind of eased back. And, playing a little bit here and there. So he hit the Panthers.
So you cashed out for entertainment purposes only?
Did he miss the Heisman or what?
Did he not, though?
Remember, he didn't even mention.
No, he didn't. He was all over, wasn't it McCaffrey? He was all over out there. And I did see, and you may have watched it too, I don't know if you did, but Henry won all the voting all across the country except on the far west.
I did.
To be expected, I'm sure.
I watched it about the first 20-25 minutes of it, and then I turned it back on.
Is that not
the last five?
What does that stay on? An hour and a half?
Yeah, and they could do that easily in 30 minutes.
Oh, I mean, it is so. Yeah. It is just drug. I don't care who wins it.
Right.
That gets old in a hurry, even if it's somebody in your own family. And for those kids having to sit there for an hour and a half, and Derrick Henry gets up and his chair stuck to him.
Hey, yeah. And did you notice?
Why didn't they give him a bigger chair? That'd be my question.
Oh, yeah.
Good grief.
Clemson quarterback, what's his name?
Deshaun Watson.
Did you notice his face and his attitude when?
I didn't pay attention.
Oh, look at that. Yeah,
I think he
had it wrapped up.
Really?
He was owed that, and then when Henry got it.
He was not happy.
Yeah, he was not a happy.
He forgot all those things he had talked about beforehand.
Right. I didn't hear Derrick Henry's speech. Maybe we might play some of that today to take up some time.
I thought he did a nice job.
I heard it was a good speech.
It was. It was a good speech. Hopefully it was an honest speech, you know, but he did a nice job. I think he's well-deserved.
Being an Auburn fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though most Alabama fans, when Cam got it,
People didn't like Cam anyway.
Well, most Auburn people don't like Derrick Henry.
Yeah, but it ain't because of what he says. It ain't because of the way he acts. Cam, it was.
No, it's what Cam done. You've already admitted that. If Cam had lost to Alabama, Alabama fans wouldn't be bothered by him.
Well, but you also have to admit, his personality is much different than Derrick Henry's.
Oh, yeah.
And it still is today.
And
so, I mean, he rubs people the wrong way, even though he does great things for the people in Charlotte, and with the kids and all that kind of stuff. But you know, in college, yeah, I mean, you know, no. He backed it up. I'm not saying he couldn't back it up, but it's just a completely different demeanor than a Derrick Henry.
Who has the best, and I'm not saying this poking. I'm not trying to get arguments
started. Who's got the best NFL quarterback?
No, who has the best NFL career, Derrick Henry or Cam Newton?
I'm going to say Cam Newton because he has his ball in the hand. I mean, the ball is snapped to him every play. That's not going to be the case with Derrick Henry. So
I'm still not sure Derrick Henry is going to be the NFL star that he was. Well, you know,
well, with the NFL now, even if you could, name me five running backs in the NFL. That's my point. Now name me five quarterbacks. No problem.
Right.
So it's not a running back league.
No, you know. Running backs are even dropping back second, third. Round.
Oh, absolutely. They're a dime a dozen. You know, it's a quarterback wide receiver league. And, you know, we can get a good back anywhere down through here. So that's my take. Cam Newton certainly will, in my opinion, will have the better career.
While we're talking about
because, you know, Jason, when we're talking about quarterback play and running back play, yeah, a quarterback, he's got to have a good offensive line. I got all that kind of stuff, you know. But with the ball in his hand, even without a good offensive line, he can still make plays.
Yeah.
If he's an athlete. He's got a better chance to make plays than Derrick Henry's going to have a chance to make plays, I think.
Yeah, I will agree with you. What about my Panthers? 38-0.
Are the Falcons not all full?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. With all capital letters. Didn't they start out like 5-1 or 6-1 or something like that?
Yeah, they got out to a hot start and cooled off rather quickly.
If you touch them now, you get frostbite. They're so cold. It's awful. It's embarrassing.
Let me get to this and then we'll hit the local.
I know where you're going right now.
No, you don't.
Okay.
I was gonna say, Dan, his name left me.
Foster.
Dan will be on with us at 5 o'clock.
Right.
May take a little extra time with Dan today if we can. Got a few things want to talk to him about. And got a few new things that we're going to throw out there for you and Dan instead of buy, sell, and hold.
So. We might get him on possibly a few minutes earlier.
Yeah. I may text him and see if we can do that.
And then at 5:30, normally I haven't text Rex today, but Rex Chambers, our local fishing expert, pro, however you want to classify him, will hopefully be joining us, telling us how we can put a few more fish in the boat here as it gets wintertime. Weather's about to change.
If it gets
wintertime, absolutely. Yesterday, was it not outstanding yesterday?
It was running, but I hate it.
You know, I think it's going to be like that again, like part of next week, too.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to rain next week.
I can't get used to this. It's just...
Yeah, it's nice.
It's crazy.
I'm so sick of pretty weather.
What's the matter with you?
I want cold. I want
what are you?
15,
some kind of darn
20
Scrooge?
Degrees at night. I want it cold on Christmas where the kids can't get out and ride.
They can't get out and come to your house.
None of mine are big enough to be out riding stuff. It don't seem like Christmas unless
it's
cold.
And I can remember several times of being shorts and t-shirts.
Yeah.
You know, at Christmas.
Just run your air conditioner down to about 59,
Jason. That's it.
And then build a fire.
That's exactly right. But, hey, beautiful weather, but I'm sure it's going
to
change.
You know, I did that the other night. I had my air conditioner on in my house, and I sat down to watch some TV, and it's just a wee bit chilly. So I thought, I'll bump the gas logs up. Next thing I knew, the air conditioner kicked on.
Hey,
I thought, duh.
If you can believe this one, Allen's son-in-law, they lived just outside of Orlando for 20 years.
Yeah.
Honest to goodness, at Christmas time, he would do just what Jay said. He would turn the air on, especially when he had Christmas parties. He would turn his air on, let it get cold in the house, and then he would build a fire
to warm it up.
The Christmas feel and all, you know.
So. And then open the doors up, try to cool it off. Fire gets so hot. So, wow.
What we got on the local scene?
Well,
we got to have some basketball going.
There is very little basketball today. Let me just say the only game that I am aware of that we have going on is Vinemont at Good Hope. I would assume
that should be a barn burner.
Yeah, I would assume that Most of the teams will be in Christmas tournaments, you know, at various locations. I think West Point and Cold Springs, they usually one host it one year and the other school will host it the next year. So that's been going on for several years. I know there's a Yuletide Classic, I think, that's being held at Wallace. A lot of teams in that, not necessarily local teams, but there's a lot of teams in that. Those are the tournaments I know of right here close.
That is Coach Myers, baby.
Yeah. I think they have been doing that for a couple years or so, something like that. And then I think even last year some of them, and it's not unusual, they'll play in like two different Christmas tournaments. I think he took his squad, I think, last year over to Mississippi. Yeah. And play for Christmas and then play the Yuletide Classic. If you don't play in a tip-off tournament or something like, or like a Thanksgiving tournament, I believe, you can play that, playing kind of an extra tournament during the holidays. I may be wrong with that, but, I don't think I am.
Yeah, aren't you allowed so many tournaments
that's
a year?
Right.
And Coleman, of course, don't play in the county tournament.
Right.
And that's a, dog for a different day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I would like to get a couple of people in here with us one day, and I may work on that. One pro Coleman being in the county tournament, one opposing, and let's go at it.
You may have to be careful with who you get.
Yeah,
nor it'd be another
another
Birmingham situation.
But I could fall and argue either side of that one.
The history behind that still runs deep for the old timers.
Yeah.
Now for the younger guys that haven't been in it that long, they don't know squat about what happened years ago as far as getting out of the county tournament.
Right.
And for the old timers, they all have a definite opinion, either yes or no.
Oh yeah, and it can get pretty heated, as you were saying. It can get pretty heated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I know we got about 5 or 6 minutes, Jason. We got some local teams that are ranked. If you want to, we can go through those. If not, we'll do those after we come back from the break. Some of the local teams that are having good seasons and at this time have been recognized by the sports writers of the state of Alabama that are ranked in the top 10, St. Bernard Boys. They have moved up from 10th to 9th in Class 1A. Holly Pond Girls, they have gone from 8th to 7th in 3A. The Holly Pond's Boys, they're still holding on to the number 2 spot. Excuse me, I'm sorry. In Class 3A, I believe they're sitting there at about 12-1, their record right now. Cold Springs Boys, they've dropped from 2nd to 5th in Class 2A. They've lost 2 or maybe 3. They're in a stretch, so they've dropped and will probably drop again. I think, and you may know who has beaten them. Was it not West Point beat them, and then
West Point,
and then Hansville,
and before that Holly Pond. So
so
three county games in a row
that they had dropped.
Sense, yeah,
exactly. But I think they got back on the winning side and beat Good Hope the other night. So, but again, that's Cold Springs Boys at this time. They dropped from 2nd to 5th and may drop a little bit more. Cold Springs Girls, they also slipped a little bit. They went from 5th to 6th in 2A Girls following their second loss this year to Fairview's Girls, who are, I believe, they are undefeated at this time, certainly within the county. So they've got the Aggies have a good girls basketball team and young, very young, as a matter of fact, or quite young. Mm. So they've got a chance to be good for the, next few years. So those are the local teams that are ranked, currently ranked, and we know those things change from week to week.
So running real quick, this will be our last show of the year. Christmas coming up, New Year's will be
that's right.
Next week from tonight, Christmas Eve, 2 weeks from tonight, New Year's Eve. So you got anything exciting going on around the Barnes household?
Nothing.
That's about the way it is around ours. So.
No plans to, be out of town, go anywhere per se, or take a little short vacation.
I think I learned my lesson last year on those going out of town.
Is that when you had
crashed your avalanche?
That was the last of the avalanche for the Spiegel, too, wasn't it?
I still cry every night about it.
You're still in mourning over no more avalanche. So, But no real big plans. You know, just the normal stuff. How about you? Nothing for y'all?
No, we're going to.
Grandkids.
That's it. Grandkids and get togethers and food. Yeah,
food.
And that's going to be about it.
Yeah. Hey, before we go to a break quickly, anything you've heard, you know, you're more on the inside of Auburn than I am. Anything about a defensive coordinator that Gus has been able to find?
Anything exciting. What's the guy's name? That's how prominent he is.
Is it somebody on staff?
Yeah.
Probably the guy that came from Alabama. I heard his name. Lance Thompson.
Yeah. Lance Thompson.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only name I've heard about, and I don't know.
It's kind of like, you know, you can use the same word. You know, they're not going to get a somebody to do it, but they can get somebody to do it,
right,
if that makes any sense at all. You know, they're not going to get a named coordinator to come in there right now.
No, not. If you do, you worry about their sanity, because if
they are
secure a job somewhere.
You know, because Gus has got to get it done, and he's got to get it done in a hurry.
But on a bright note, and we'll take a look at this.
Yeah.
Auburn, for some odd reason, is tearing it up right now with defensive commitments.
Now, I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, I'll run over a few of those, look them up and run over a few, but it's looking good. Now, whether they'll change since Muschamp's gone, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that's why they're getting them.
Yeah, maybe because he's gone. All right, it's time for a break. We'll be right back. If you got something you want to discuss or want to rub it in that you're going somewhere exciting for Christmas,
right,
give us a call.
Or if you got tickets for the Birmingham Bowl.
737-9505.
Jason would like to know about it.
Sports Talk Live 95.5 with a rude partner today. And it's the world of dread and fear. Christmas bells that ring there, all the clanging chimes of doom. Well, tonight, thank God it's them instead of you.
Have you been to your mobile phone carrier store lately? You probably discovered the phones are overpriced and that those same great carriers, well, they're not really ready to help you absorb the cost of that phone anymore. Sounds like a great business opportunity, huh? Well, that's where the folks at Coleman Phone and Tablet have stepped up to the plate. Their business started with simple repairs of smartphones and tablet screens, but due to demand, has recently expanded to carrying a large selection of smartphones. If you're tired of your current model, hey, they'll even make you an offer on it. Next time you need a new phone, you really should check with them first. We do. They're just across from the carrier stores on Cherokee Avenue in the Best Way Shopping Center anyway. I mean, they're right there. You're in the area anyway. Why not stop in and see what they have? Hours 10 to 7, weekdays 10 to 5 on Saturday, and close 12 to 1 for lunch. Or check them out on Facebook. Coleman Phone and Tablet. What would we ever do without them?
I'm Tommy Warhurst of Premier Insurance Agency. Fancy TV commercials and jingles are nice, but they're expensive. And you shouldn't have to pay for them. If your insurance agent works for one of those big companies, then they work for the company. Who's working for you? As your independent insurance agent, my hands aren't tied to one big company. I shop America's top providers to get you the best price. A personal agent that works for you. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your independent insurance agent at Premier Insurance Agency on the corner of Graham and Main in Coleman. 297-2280. 297-2280.
Kids Loving Kids is working on a local toy box drive just in time for Christmas. Kids Loving Kids is a 501c3 organization founded in 2012 whose mission it is to develop philanthropy skills through multiple projects empowering students to make a difference in the lives of other kids. The organization is taking donations through December the 19th for new unwrapped toys and clothes. For more information about the organization and specific toys requested, you can search for their Facebook page, search for Kids Loving Kids. Shortly before Christmas, they'll be setting up a one-day market where parents that are in need can come work with middle school-age volunteers to wrap the gifts and stuff a few stockings. Here's a partial list of local businesses who are participating in this project. The Coleman Power Board, Red Door Cafe, TNT Motors, Best Way Rent to Own, Connie Phillips CPA, Coleman Phone and Tablet, Classic to Sassy, Coleman Jefferson Gas, Shimmer and Glow, Vincent's Furniture, Happy Homes Real Estate, New Vision Real Estate, Coleman Funeral Home, the Coleman County Sheriff's Department, Zeb Little's Attorney's Office, Office, Bell Affairs Salon and Day Spa, the North End Title Max, Mitch Smith Chevrolet, Bill Smith GMC, First Southern Financial, Berkeley Bob's, and many more. 595 wants to help kids loving kids promote the joys of giving and helping others. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas from all of us here at Live 95.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Hey, kids.
I heard on the news that an airline pilot spotted Santa's sled on its way in from New York.
You serious, Clark?
If you've been good all year round, Santa Claus is going to bring you something.
Clark, what is it?
The one-year membership in the Jelly of the Month Club.
Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Season's greetings. Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
Come to you from Iraq. All right, 424. Is there a funnier, better Christmas movie than Christmas Vacation?
That's funny stuff. That is a funny movie.
Am I hearing that in my head? Oh, it's coming from your computer.
Oh, is it my computer? I thought it was in our headset. I thought Jay was playing something, playing on my computer.
And,
it is hilarious.
Have you probably any either one. I don't know.
Have you heard the Cousin Eddie news?
Cousin Eddie.
Yeah, Cousin Eddie is.
He kind of went off the deep end, didn't he?
Yeah, and has disappeared or something.
Yeah, at one time he was in Canada, and then came here and they arrested him or something. And he looked like a wilderness man. He looked like one of the Alaskan bush people or something.
Cousin Eddie. You couldn't have found anybody to play that part any better.
No, that was funny stuff. That was funny. And Christmas Vacation and Christmas, what is it, Christmas Story?
Yeah.
With a little red BB gun. Put your eye out with that.
You are stuck to watching one Christmas movie every year for the rest of your life.
It's a Wonderful Life. That's what I'm taking.
That's what you're going to take.
No question.
Is The Force Awakens a Christmas movie? Just curious.
It can be. If you choose for it to be. That's my pick. It's a Wonderful Life. What are you taking?
I think I'm going with Christmas Vacation.
Well, I knew you would.
Christmas Vacation. I tell you, a close second for me now, though, is Elf.
Elf. That's pretty good. Elf. That's funny, too.
You know, trying really hard to derail your show. You know, buying tickets for the Star Wars movie is a lot like going to a sold-out concert now.
Hey, doesn't that... Speaking of that, I believe that's tonight because...
I believe so.
Yeah, because my youngest one is... Well, he's not young. He's 21, but he's got a group and they're going to Huntsville, I think, to watch it. So
let me say this.
I don't know anything about them. I haven't watched
them. These folks who camped out for 2 weeks to get Star Wars tickets, get a life. If you have nothing else to do,
come apply for a job at Speaker Contract.
It's been their life since 1970, whatever.
That's probably true. That's exactly right. So, I don't know. I've watched just bits and pieces and a movie here, a movie there, but I don't know anything about the.
All I have to say about that is the new Star Trek movie theme or preview came out this last week to the tune of Sabotage. That's all I got to say about that.
Oh, man.
Never watched a Star Wars movie, never planned to watch a Star Wars.
But you will watch Christmas Vacation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm something on that high education level.
So. Yeah, something makes you think. Hey, what did you think about, Jason, about the kid that Alabama was trying to recruit, Dakota, I don't really know how you pronounce his last name, Prukoff. He was from Montana State. They were recruiting him to come be their quarterback, you know, kind of like a Coker. He had graduated from Montana State, and they were courting him hard and heavy to come to Alabama. However, he turned them down, and he went to Oregon. So, don't know if you were aware of that, heard about that.
That's the first time I've heard about it.
Yeah, they were after this kid hard. I watched some highlights on him. He's a real, I mean, he's a solid, good quarterback, would fit in well, but turned Alabama down, went to Oregon. My question would be, if you're Cooper Bateman, What's that say to you?
Right. Right.
And so they don't have much faith in you.
I am Dakota, though, I think that is a wise choice. Not slapping Alabama, but yeah. If I'm a quarterback and I have my chance to play at Oregon or Alabama, I think I'll go to Oregon.
Yeah, and he's out there on the West Coast. Right. You know, he's in Montana, and that's much closer, I'm sure. Maybe that played a part. I have no idea. But you wonder how that, how Cooper Bateman feels about that. Because.
Oh, yeah, that don't bode well for your.
No. And, I thought Alabama was probably going to be pretty set on, the Barnett kid, I believe it was Blake Barnett, who came, he was the number one rated quarterback last year. He's redshirted this year. Maybe they don't know whether he's going to be ready for next year. I don't know. You can read that a lot of ways, yeah. I guess. You want to get as many good players as you can get, but,
What about this headline, Ronnie? Sheila, if you're listening, you will appreciate it. I know Eddie appreciated it last night as I put it on Facebook. He had been apparently in the milk, Johnson said.
Yeah.
Auburn signs top JUCO dual threat quarterback out of his name, John Franklin. He is
John
out of
Franklin. Isn't that an insurance in? Maybe his dad owns it.
Franklin III.
The third?
So, yeah.
There's a John Franklin insurance.
Just by looking at him, he don't look like his daddy would own an insurance company. So.
But he is the number one JUCO, quarterback out there, or the number one JUCO overall, I guess.
The number one quarterback. I don't know if he's the number one overall.
Okay.
But, Ronnie, as we have said many times, for Gus to work, he has to have a good dual.
We said that all along. He has to have the quarterback who can run, who can throw, who can think, who can make quick decisions. Then he's got a chance to be, successful. And if he does not have that quarterback, what happened to him this year will continue to happen as long as he's at Auburn, if he does not get that kind of quality athlete.
And Ronnie, take a look at this picture and see if I am looking at this. Is that not a Florida State emblem on the front of his jersey?
That's exactly what that is.
That's what I thought it was.
But it's a green jersey, so I don't. That's what it looks like to me.
I think he is at a camp there.
And, oh, okay.
I'm not sure where he got the Florida State emblem, but anyway.
Yeah. This kid coming in should probably be the end of Jeremy Johnson and Sean White. You would think their playing days.
Yeah, I would think so.
Think Gus. That's he would want. To have somebody else to play,
right.
Other than not throwing off, really on either one of those kids, but they just weren't able to get it done this year.
And looking at next year, it looks like it's going to be Jeremy Johnson who's going to start with the advantage now, till this guy comes along. Yeah. So not a lot to look forward to.
On the bright side,
though, if this kid comes in and does the job, he will take it over. But if not, Jeremy Johnson has to be better than he was this year. So,
well, that goes without saying, doesn't it? If he doesn't, he's going to cost Gus his job. And I think we've discussed that and deliberated that and disagreed with it because you think Gus has got two more years, irregardless. And I think he's got to produce much better than he did this year or he's going to be out the door. And I hope not because I like him.
You think 1 year does him in if he don't produce this year?
I do.
I hope Auburn is more patient with him than that, but who knows? Look at Gene Chizik.
Absolutely. Won a national championship. And
one thing Auburn can do is we've got Alabama in Heisman winners. 3-2 now.
Well, yeah.
Hey, anything we can get a lead on Alabama. Hey, Jay, we talked about Derrick Henry, so let's play that. Derrick Henry giving his speech the other night.
Yeah.
And
he did a nice job.
Yeah, he did, and that's coming again from an Auburn fan.
I know.
But
and it's well appreciated.
Yeah, he done a good job.
I think so.
Done a good job for Alabama this year.
He sure did.
Jay, if you can cue it up, this is Derrick Henry, the Heisman acceptance.
Heisman Trophy winner. Without further ado, the winner of this year's Heisman Trophy is Derrick Henry.
I honestly don't think he was surprised when they called his name out.
Probably not.
And go past some of the applause here.
I'm a little nervous. I don't do this every day, so. But first off, I just want to thank God and Sam for bringing me here and winning this prestigious award. You know, he's been so good to me in my life, and I've been honored and blessed and with this opportunity. And, you know, since a kid, it's been my lifelong goal and a dream of mine, and I'm just so thankful. First, I'd like to thank the Heisman Trophy Trust for allowing me to join this brotherhood with former winners who are standing behind me. Some of my football heroes that I looked up and idolized myself behind. And it's just been an honor just to be here and just be with these guys. And Christian and Deshaun, man, y'all keep at it, man. God is behind y'all. Y'all had a successful season. I'm sure I'll see y'all again here next year. Mom and Dad, man, my mom, my best friend, who brought me into this world. I just want to thank you so much for always being there for me. Through my struggles, you always heard me. Anytime I was struggling, you was always there for me. I'll call you late at night, you'd be asleep. No, you had to be up 3 o'clock in the morning, but you would answer for me. Just to hear what I had to say, help me get through where I need to get through. To my dad, my number one fan, man, just kept me in sports, always was there for me, day after day, you know what I'm saying? And being young and being so supportive and keeping me in sports, I just want to thank you so much, man, and always being there for me, man. And even in the games, every game I played, you was always loud. I'll probably be able to hear you in Alabama, but it's only 2,000 people, so I'm going to be able to hear you. My grandmother, the woman who made me to who I am today, I want to thank you so much. Even though you couldn't be here, I feel you in spirit, and I love you so much. You know, you made me to who I am today, hard work, dedication, and just doing what I wanted to do. You always told me always keep God first. And pray that I always make it far. And I just want to thank you and let you know I love you and I'm praying for you. To my teammates, my brothers, my family, and the boys I love the most, you know, coming in Alabama from Florida, they all accepted me. They all loved me and all supported me. And this season, man, considering me as a leader, taking me as a leader, young guys falling behind me, you know what I'm saying, and watching me work every day, and all I wanted to do was just affecting by the way I practice and by the way I work hard. And I just want to thank them so much. My offensive line, if I could have had them here, I would have brought them all. You know what I'm saying? They work so hard for me. They take pride in controlling the line of scrimmage, making sure I have success. And through this year, man, just looking at these guys, the courage they had in me, the faith they had in me, I knew I couldn't let them down. Everybody always asking about carries and what I thought about and how I felt. But when you got teammates like that who love you and care for you, it don't matter how you feel or how bad it hurts or what hurts you. You got to make sure that you're making those guys happy by helping them win and getting a victory. To Coach Saban, the great ambassador, man, the man who believed in me by recruiting me, bringing me to the University of Alabama, seeing me grow as a player and as a person, and you can learn a lot from him, just from the game and from football. And, you know, every day I come to that football facility, I know it's going to be a challenge. I know every day it's not going to be easy. No day is easy. But I know every day I'm going to be challenged by you. You're a loyal coach. You always challenge us. And I just love you, Coach, man. Without you, I wouldn't be here today. Coach Burns, like I said, a lot can go on and on. But this past few years, it's been a blessing just to be coached by you. And, you know, just as much as you're proud of me, every day I wake up, I'm so proud to call you my coach. Every day I wake up, I'm so proud to call you my coach. And just to watch the guys you coached in the previous years, I knew the day we talked when you recruited me that I would have a chance to be up on this stage. And I just want to thank you so much, Coach. And I know it was a hard time, you know what I'm saying, being patient with me, but you stuck through it. Every day you worked with me. Every day you helped me grow as a player and as a person. And I can learn so much from you every day. You always spit knowledge to us about life and football, and it's just bigger than the game. And I just want to thank you so much. To Coach Pat and JT, I love y'all, and y'all know how much y'all mean to me. And I thank God for y'all every day for the blessings y'all did in my life and bringing y'all into my life. You know, y'all always believe in me as a young kid that I can go somewhere and be something special. Without y'all, I wouldn't be here today. You know, countless hours being with me, away from y'all family, and y'all family accepting me as one. I just want to thank y'all so much, man. And God is good just to have y'all in my life, always supporting me, always being around. To Coach Cocker, I forgot Coach Ramsey, man, and my high school coach, who was also there for me and watched me grow as a player and made sure I always worked hard and gave me every opportunity to go to college football. To Coach Cochran and his strength staff at Alabama, man. Coach Cochran, I just want to thank him so much because he's spending relentless hours with us, man, every day. He's like a head coach to us all. And he's every day he's worked with us, he brings energy. We all feed off him, and he makes sure we're in the best shape possible to go out there and perform at the highest level. I just want to thank him so much and his staff. And he makes sure his staff is always on point and making sure we do what we need to do. To the athletic director, Bill Battle, I just want to thank you for allowing me to play at the University of Alabama. There's so much you do for our program, and we just want to thank you so much that you dedicated to us. Oh, you played at Alabama, and the roots of Alabama is always in you, and I just want to thank you so much. To the University of Alabama, for the dedication they provided me, specifically Chancellor Witt and President Bell, who are both here tonight, and all my professors. I thank y'all for helping me grow as a person and as a student. And, you know, there's no easy way going through college, and I faced adversity, but you all helped me and gave me the opportunity to come to the great school, the University of Alabama, the best school in the country. And to the Alabama Academic Support Staff, Jeff Allen, the training room staff, and really all the support staff at Alabama that does so much in all aspects help me be successful. Just want to thank y'all who helped me so much, who done so much for me. Without y'all, I couldn't have done it. And I just want to talk to the kids that's looking and watching this TV today. I just want to give y'all advice. And I'm hoping I'm somebody you can idolize yourself behind and look up to, because God is everything. And always keep God first. Always pray. Don't be afraid to pray. He'll always hear your cry. And you know what I'm saying? If you have dreams, go chase them. If you believe it, you can achieve it. And God will be there every step of the way. I'm a living testament, man. Growing up, having this dream, I'm so nervous, but I never thought I'd be up here. But, you know, God is good, and I get on my hands and knees every night and pray and thank you for everything. So just keep God first, always pray, and you'll always chase your dream. And I want to accept this trophy and the rest in peace of my brother, Alty Tenpenny, who's been a brother to me, who died this year. And I just want to tell him I love him and I miss him. And God bless him. Roll Tide.
Darren.
All right.
Congratulations.
Derrick Henry. Alabama Heisman winner.
2016. Did a good job.
Yeah, he did. And, boy, he brought it in there at the end and told it like it was, told what was important. And something you don't hear a lot. And if you do hear it, it seems to be, you know, they get poked fun at.
Yeah,
and make
absolutely.
Fun of,
absolutely.
Probably not going to make fun of Derrick Henry.
No, right, not to his face you won't.
Right.
So he did a good job. Congratulations to Derrick Henry.
And real quick, Ronnie, speaking of that, did we talk about the Tim Tebow's girlfriend dumping him because he wouldn't have premarital sex?
No, but I read something about that.
And that shows you, we'll talk about that more in just a second.
Says a lot about him, doesn't it?
Yeah, stay with us. We'll talk a little Tim Tebow and his faith and beliefs. And he's a man not scared to stand up for
No, absolutely.
4:41, we're running a little bit late for break. Dan Vosta at 5, so stay with us. Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
Cool. I checked her out, Jason. I didn't think she was all that anyway. I don't care if she won a modeling contest or not. So.
There you go.
But it's not like Christmas at all. I remember when you
Love Live 95? Do you love Christmas music? Do you need a last-minute tax write-off? Live 95 is looking for sponsors for our week of Christmas music. Beginning Friday, December 18th, you can sponsor an entire hour for $50. We can record your Christmas message to the town of Cullman or play your own personal message of tidings and joy. Email us at studio@live95cullman.com and we'll work with you to plan your hour of music. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from our family to yours at Live 95.
So let me add to that. If you want to be a sponsor of Christmas music that we're going to be kicking off tomorrow, $50 will get you on the roster, and you've got about an hour and 15 minutes to get that into us. So, studio at live95coleman.com. Let us know you're interested. I'll send you a bill, and we'll get you on the air. Thanks.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Kids Loving Kids is working on a local toy box drive just in time for Christmas. Kids Loving Kids is a 501c3 organization founded in 2012 whose mission it is to develop philanthropy skills through multiple projects, empowering students to make a difference in the lives of other kids. The organization is taking donations through December the 19th for new unwrapped toys and clothes. For more information about the organization and specific toys requested, you can search for their Facebook page, search for Kids Loving Kids. Shortly before Christmas, they'll be setting up a one-day market where parents that are in need can come work with middle school-age volunteers to wrap the gifts and stuff a few stockings. Here's a partial list of local businesses who are participating in this project. The Coleman Power Board, Red Door Cafe, TNT Motors, Best Way Rent to Own, Connie Phillips CPA, Coleman Phone and Tablet, Classic to Sassy, Coleman Jefferson Gas, Shimmer and Glow, Vincent's Furniture, Happy Homes Real Estate, New Vision Real Estate, Coleman Funeral Home, the Coleman County Sheriff's Department, Zeb Little's Attorney's Office, Bella Fair Salon and Day Spa, the North End Title Max, Mitch Smith Chevrolet, Bill Smith GMC, First Southern Financial, Berkeley Bob's, and many more. 595 wants to help Kids Loving Kids promote the joys of giving and helping others. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas from all of us here at Live 95.
I'm Tommy Warhurst of Premier Insurance Agency. Fancy TV commercials and jingles are nice, but they're expensive, and you shouldn't have to pay for them. If your insurance agent works for one of those big companies, then they work for the company. Who's working for you? As your independent insurance agent, my hands aren't tied to one big company. I shop America's top providers to get you the best price. A personal agent that works for you. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your independent insurance agent at Premier Insurance Agency on the corner of Graham and Main in Coleman. 297-2280. 297-2280.
Did you know that you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill? Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Coleman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer to the service, or a bundle with the Cyber Broadband Cellular Service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you sign up for broadband service to another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo! It's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Derek Scudder. The perpetrators of one of Birmingham's most notorious crimes of the 80s have been...
Whoops, sorry, we got it fixed. Now you got some music, guys.
Let me tell you about a deer I knew. Hard to believe it, but that deer flew. Worked for the big man on the north side of town. And I'd heard his name all across the land. Seemed he had millions of fans, but the night I met him... He was feeling kind of down.
bar one late winter night, right before he was to take flight. He told me it was that time of the year. And with all the hustle, you know, people get forgotten, the naughty, nice, and the downright rotten. He let out a sigh and he whispered in my ear, I've got Dasher, Dancer, Prancer.
All right, Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen. For $100,000, can you name all the reindeer?
Show me. Yeah, I can do it. All right. You got the 100 grand?
I don't even know their name. I can look them up. So. I know Dasher and Dancer.
Prancer and Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen.
Wait a minute. All right, call them out.
I can't do it now. I have to do it. I have to do it with the song.
There's one called Rudolph.
Yeah.
I know that one.
Yeah, you can. Sure, he won't leave that one out.
That's the most important reindeer of all.
You just make that up.
Speaking of which, the best part of my movie, Christmas Vacation, is the part that Jay was playing, where they're sitting there at the supper table and Clark tells them that they've picked up Santa Claus on radar. And he, are you serious, Clark? I could listen to that 100 times.
Oh, you're a simple-minded man, aren't you, Jason?
Hey, Jay, can we give Dan a call and see if he might accidentally answer and get him? We got a few minutes extra with him today. So.
Yeah. Give me a minute or two to do that, though.
All right. Well, we're timing you now. So.
No problem. Hey, while we're waiting to get Dan on the phone or get Dan with us, Jason, I know you are thrilled with the situation that seems to be taking place at Texas A&M. You've said it for 2 years that Kevin Sumlin is if not the one of the most overpaid college coaches in not just the SEC but the entire country, and now he is apparently without both of his quarterbacks. Kyle Allen, I guess maybe a week, 2-3 weeks ago, said he would be leaving the program. And then today, Kyler Murray, who has said he is leaving the program effective immediately after Sumlin said that he would be back at practice and would be the starter for the Music City Bowl. So now Texas A&M will probably have an open tryouts for a quarterback like Florida did for a kicker.
I mean, can you believe that Texas A&M is falling apart? And if something is falling apart at that level, where do you look right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's a question I would ask you, and I think I know what the answer is going to be. Who has gone faster? Who loses their head coaching job faster, Kevin Sumlin or Gus Malzahn?
Kevin Sumlin. This year will do him in,
unless
he pulls a miracle.
Do you think it may wind him up even after the bowl game? Do you think he's even back next year?
It's a possibility. And that'd be something I want to get Dan's thought on, too. I don't know if he is up to date on it. I'm sure he is. He's up to date on about everything.
Absolutely. But I think this year the buyout is just is astronomical, his buyout. I think I heard it's up to in excess around $20 million for his buyout, so he may be back one year.
Speak of the devil, we got Dan.
Oh, we got the devil man on today. So, great.
Hey, Dan, welcome to Sports Talk Live. A few minutes early today.
No problem. Happy Thursday to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Great. Did you hear the conversation as you came in? We're talking before we even get started about Texas A&M falling apart at the seams. Kevin Sumlin, his future. Give us your thoughts on the happenings at Texas A&M.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been quite the couple of days, couple of hours, if you will. It was just about maybe a month or so ago where I said and thought that going into the Alabama game, I thought Texas A&M had a chance to, if they could keep that game competitive, wasn't predicting an upset there, but there was a chance that they could bring a lot of momentum, kind of be in the situation that Ole Miss is in right now, back-to-back New Year's Six Bowls. But I thought the offense would turn around, obviously did not, and it's really gone downhill big time. They always had big question marks on the defense side of the ball, and the offense was not the issue. But right now, it's hard to be, obviously, the number one talk about in all college sports right now is their inability to do anything at the quarterback position. Now Kyle Allen transfers, now Kyler Murray transfers, excuse me, and because he didn't sign his letter of intent, the reports are that he may have to sit out till 2017. So who knows if, you know, potentially he wants to concentrate on potentially the Major League Baseball draft or transfer to a JUCO college. So clearly there's lots of things that could develop, you know, potentially to this upcoming offseason. Meanwhile, Jake Kubiak is going to have to start as their quarterback. They're going to be trying to look and potentially play a freshman maybe next season if they can land one, because obviously playing time is going to be a potential selling point that they thought they were going to get with those two studs of Allen and Murray this year, but they have had major issues this season offensively. They were supposed to be one of the best two or three offenses in the SEC, in my opinion, but the SEC, or should say the defense, maybe the lower ranks like last year, but all of a sudden, if they were to lose this bowl game, which I'm leaning towards Louisville now with everything that's been going on, most experts have it in there as a pick 'em, but all of a sudden, Kevin Sumlin enters the top five, at least, discussion of hot seat coaches going into next year, and if you have another 8-5 type of season, which they did last year, looking like they're going to happen again this year, currently 8-4, lose a game, go to 5 losses, then I think all of a sudden, could be a similar situation to Gus Malzahn in Auburn, based off preseason expectations. Sure, A&M was not projected to win 10, 11 games like Auburn was, but nonetheless, in a tough division, the SEC West, if A&M can't put up a big-time victory, you know, in the bowl game, or more so victories next season, there's a good chance he won't be back in 2 years. I think he will be back next year, but if you don't win 9-10 games, all of a sudden, he could be adios, because another 8-5 year this season, more than likely. Next year's going to be a big-time year. Probably won't be preseason ranked, but on paper, no reason why they can't win at least 8-9 games. And obviously, if things don't pan out and go well next year, there's a good chance he's going to be adios. So they got to, you know, put the pieces and pick up as quickly as they can, because a bowl loss is not... That's a sour taste in the mouth for the entire off season. Not the springboard you want, regardless of the bowl game. It's nice to win every once in a while, and that's something A&M faithful has not seen. So they got to pick up the pieces quickly, because the SEC West isn't getting worse. It's only going to get better. So they better win as soon as possible before they're looking for a new coach, because right now the offense, for the most part, among any, you know, relevant Power 5 teams, it's in the biggest of shambles.
Right, couldn't agree with you more.
Exactly. Hey, Dan, since we're throwing you curveballs, let's just hypothetically say that Texas A&M and Auburn next year go 6-6. Which coach do you think is going to be the first one gone, Sumlin or Malzahn?
Wow, yeah, I would, you know, bet the ranch that they don't last the end of the season in terms of pre-postseason. They'd probably both be gone. But who would go first? Wow, I would probably actually. Well, you got to let the season play out, see how it goes. But if it's anywhere like this season, I would probably slightly lean towards Gus Malzahn going first. But, you know, that might be a pick in itself of who goes first. But I'd probably lean towards Auburn. But it's hard to say, because if this bowl game goes really south and they get buried, then it may change my opinion. And obviously, many people may lean towards A&M of what's going on currently. But both are not in good situations. But I would probably lean slightly with Auburn. But I'm reluctant to change with my bowl picks. Maybe that's leaning towards what I think is going to happen in these bowl games, but nonetheless, they're both in deep danger.
Hey, and Dan, talking about, and again, I know we're throwing you curveballs, and we'll get on topic here in a little bit, but I'm going to throw you another one. You know, Auburn is sitting there in a situation now with Muschamp leaving and going to South Carolina. Are you hearing anything? We're not in terms of, you know, who Gus may hire as his defensive coordinator, or, you know, is there someone out there that he can get to come with, even with him being on the hot seat, or are people going to shy away from it because he is on the hot seat a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't heard any, you know, there's always rumblings and rumors, but I haven't really heard anything consistent. I'm sure that will develop probably throughout this postseason, next month or so. Once the bowl games are over, we'll get at least more of a lean. At the moment right now, it's kind of up for air, but anything is possible, we've learned, in the college ball landscape. I mean, just looking at these last couple of days of A&M, when you think things are going great, they can change within a few days or a few weeks. In this case, last month for A&M, they went from a potential, I thought, top 10 team in pretty much early mid-August. I had them in my top of 10, top 11 in early August, and all of a sudden now they're not even really in the top 40. So things can change in the next month or so. We'll see how the bowl game develops and see where things go from there, because potentially there's more coaching hires or movings, if you will, that sometimes sorts itself out, but we'll have to wait and see for that approach.
Exactly. Hey, well, let's try to jump to topic here. First of all, we want to applaud you. You nailed it when you said that Derrick Henry would win the Heisman, and that he did. That was your prediction, and it came true. Give us your thoughts on the Heisman race and maybe how the voting ballot turned out.
Yeah, I mean, certainly no big surprises from my part, at least. Baker Mayfield, I think you saw, finished fourth behind, of course, Derrick Henry. Deshaun Watson was third. McCaffrey, as you mentioned, was second. But you saw Fournette, Dalvin Cook, Zeke Elliott in the top eight. That didn't really catch my attention, but I think looking towards the next year, that's going to be a lot of fun. Because this year, though, for the most part, obviously, was all about the running backs. For the last, you know, decade plus or so, it's been the complete opposite. A couple of years ago, I was even thinking that there was a chance for a receiver to maybe challenge for the Heisman more so than running backs, with all these teams winning there with spread offenses. But it still goes to show that these teams are recruiting big-time running backs that are carrying their ways to victory. You look at LSU, Florida State, Alabama. Without their Heisman hopefuls this year, I think they would have lost at least one or more games. I'd argue Alabama might be a four-loss team without Derrick Henry, and certainly I think Florida State and LSU would have had a few more losses as well. But for the overall recap, many people, you know, thought this was a tough race with Christian McCaffrey, but many people have forgotten that first month he only had one touchdown for the season going in October, and it was against the lowly, winless UCF Knights, which they went 0-12, of course. So I think, you know, we've got to judge the whole season, where lots of people are prisoners of the moment in all of life and sports especially. It's all about what have you done for me lately, and sometimes that's not fair. But I think they got the job done in terms of the Heisman voters, because Derrick Henry was a stud in September, October, and then he was a superstar in obviously November and December. And certainly maybe McCaffrey matched him in that last, you know, five games. There's still those seven first games. And Derrick Henry was a man-child in those first, you know, six, 7 games. Maybe wasn't going bonkers like he was in the year, but we're judging the whole season. That's why in the year we judge our CFP. We went the four best teams for the season. We're not going to dismantle or forget what happened in September, and that's why I think they got the job done in terms of the voting process. But very exciting for next year, because many of these players are actually coming back.
Thank you.
Hey, Dan, that brings us to our next question, talking about next year. If you're going to put the odds out, who can we look for? Who are you betting on next year to be the front Heisman candidates as we start the season?
If I had a free penny to, you know, throw away, I think three running backs stick out immediately with me, and that's obviously Christian McCaffrey, who finished just second in this past Heisman, of course. It's going to be interesting to see how they, you know, develop next year without Kevin Hogan, who's currently tied with Connor Cook for most active FBS quarterback wins. So we'll see how Stanford does. We'll still be among the favorites in the Pac-12, but it's going to be helpful to be at least as good as they were this past season. And then quickly, Leonard Fournette of LSU. We'll see how they do with a lot of their studs back. Brandon Harris is back. Malachi Dupree is back. They have a bevy of receivers. And obviously, they're going to be pretty talented going into the year. Probably a top 15 preseason, worst case. And then Dalvin Cook, I would probably put as my co-favorite, because I think the other guy you got to look out for is quarterback of Clemson, Deshaun Watson. Whoever wins that division, that ACC, probably going to represent the CFP for one of their four spots next year. Good chance Clemson could be preseason number one next year, depending on what happens in the next couple of weeks, their CFP semifinals game against Oklahoma. But Dalvin Cook, obviously, many feel he was the best player in the country for Florida State. He really bailed them out in many games. Obviously, you can make the case for the other candidates that did get invited, but I think Watson and Cook, I would probably put 1A, 1B. They're both going to have gaudy numbers next year, and there's a good chance that one of those teams, obviously, I'm actually going to make the CFP, and that's kind of what it's about. You carry your team towards the college football playoffs, and you're down it for the whole season. I think both those guys are as good as it gets.
All right. Hey, Dan, I want to throw you another curveball. Mm-hmm. Jason and I talked about this just a little bit ago, about the kid from Montana State that Alabama was trying to get to come in as a quarterback, and Oregon, and he chose Oregon. My question is, how do you think this plays out in Tuscaloosa with the kid, you know, them out trying to get a kid to come in to possibly be quarterback for him? What does that say to Cooper Bateman?
Yeah, I certainly think they're going to have some confidence into him. I think this year kind of goes a far away. Obviously, many people want to draw their own conclusion of whether Jake Coker really was challenged by Jameis Winston like Jimbo Fisher said a few years ago. But it just goes to show you, even when you're a little vanilla, that Alabama's been at times, Calvin Ridley has done wonders for them in the passing game. But without a superstar quarterback, which Jake Coker certainly is not projected to be a, you know, first or second, third, fourth round draft pick by any means.
Right.
I think it goes to show you when you play great defense like Alabama can do it, and you can run the ball north and south, you know, better than any team in the country on the planet, you can go far away. And so I think their backfield, Damian Harris, Bo Scarborough could be a dark horse for the Heisman next year if he could be healthy going into the year. They're loaded with talent, as we know. So I think it goes to show, whoever they put at quarterback, take care of the ball, be that game manager, which no quarterback likes being called, of course, and just pound the rock 40, 50 times a game and be a top-five defense like you can and just ball like you normally do. And I think, for the most part, they're going to have consistent success and potentially they're going to be another preseason top-three team, regardless of whether it is Cooper Bateman or their quarterback under center, because it's helpful that they've always had some big backs, and Scarborough, I believe, is, what, pushing 240 or so. Potentially, if even bulks up more, it could be more. So I think they're going to be okay who, regardless of who's under center for next year.
Okay, great. Thanks, Dan.
Dan, Saturday, the bowl season kicks off. Six games, I think, on tap for Saturday. Is there any games out there this weekend worth watching, or should fans just skip the football and finish their Christmas shopping?
Yeah, if you want to finish them, make sure you finish it early or more so late, because the in-between game that is a must-watch, in my opinion, is BYU and Utah. The Holy War is being played in Vegas, which makes perfect sense.
Oh, watch out.
They've already started the trash talking. Utah defensive lineman today, if you haven't seen the video or heard the news, he called BYU out and said they're a pretty good team, but they're also a dirty team. And that's not the first time that BYU's had some rumblings and rumors of the way they play that way. Remember, it was just last year the Miami Beach Bowl where Memphis defeated BYU and ended with an all-time top three melee in postseason history, with the BYU Cougars losing that game. This game is going to be very crucial. Bronco Mendenhall is his last game, of course, as a BYU head coach. He's going to Virginia. Utah, for me, was one of the more overrated teams in the country. Devontae Booker's an NFL running back that will not be playing. He's looking forward to the Senior Bowl. So Utah's been struggling down the stretch. They got by a few teams, Colorado, in their season finale. They can still get their 10th win of the season. The CFP had a little crush on them for the whole season, why they're still ranked is beyond me. But BYU is slight underdog in this game. I think the Cougars are going to pull this one off, but this is like a throwback to the 80s. I think first to 16, 17 points, probably going to win this game. This will be a slugfest, and I wouldn't count out a few flags, a few fights potentially between the two teams that, if you would ask them, they would say, no offense to Auburn, Alabama, but Utah-BYU is the true rivalry where these teams cannot stand each other. So this is going to be an early little boxing match, potentially, that you're going to want to watch, because it's going to kick off the postseason and get you excited for even the more bigger and better bowl games.
Great. Hey, Dan, let me throw one at you. I want your prediction. I want your prediction for the Auburn game against Memphis. Who have you got winning that game?
Yeah, I'm going to lean with Memphis over Auburn 31-27. I think Paxton Lynch will put on a clinic and more than likely prove why he's going to be a first-round draft pick for a position that obviously is the most important and often the most overlooked, if you will, position with all the NFL busts we've had in recent years at quarterback. I think this will be a shootout. Auburn, I think, will contain the line of scrimmage, but I think they're going to struggle to score enough points to keep up with Memphis. But you know what, if they could control the line of scrimmage and dominate, I think they're going to have at least a chance to win, which I think they will. But I'm going to lean with Memphis in a slight advantage, and I think there's just a little pressure on Auburn, obviously, to win this game and continue and press the reset button, if you will, looking forward to next season, whereas Memphis is really looking forward to getting the job done against an SEC team and get consecutive 10-win teams, I believe, for the first time in program history. So a little bit more for Memphis than there is for Auburn. Auburn's just trying to lick their wounds and move on to next year. So I'm going to lean with Memphis, but I think it's going to be a very, very entertaining battle.
Okay, great. Thanks, Dan. Hey, let's switch gears now, move to the NFL. After Carolina beat Atlanta 38-0 this last weekend, they are the only team in NFL that's still undefeated. Question is, do you think they can run the table? And if they do, should they be considered one of the elite teams?
Yes, I think they will go undefeated in the regular season. I think they're going to find to go 16-0. I think they'll sneak by the Giants this weekend, and eventually they have Atlanta and Tampa Bay. I think they'll sneak, get by as well comfortably. But then the biggest question, can you go, 3-0 in the postseason and go 19-0? If they do that, there's a good chance left to be either the Patriots with Tom Brady, maybe Pittsburgh, Denver, Cincinnati, which are going to be a very good matchup. So I think if the Patriots go 19-0, I have no problem calling them the greatest team ever, based on it's almost impossible to do so when you look at the type of league that we're in right now, where there's more injuries than there's ever been before. Many of the best players in the league are currently not playing because of the injuries this year. We look at Jamal Charles, Le'Veon Bell, etc. So if they can do it, I'm ready to crown them. But I don't think they will win the Super Bowl. I think they're going to lose, which we'll talk in a second. But I think the Panthers will go undefeated in the regular season and then eventually lose, more than likely, in the divisional or NFC championship game. But if they were to go 19-0, I'll be the first one to crown them.
Okay. I want to piggyback off of just what you said there, Dan. If they do go undefeated regular season, and I agree, I think that will, and Jason probably does too, and then if they do get bounced, in the playoffs before they get to the Super Bowl, does Cam Newton still have an opportunity to be the MVP in the NFL this year?
Yeah, I would personally still lean with him by at least a decent margin. I think worst case, he maybe, barely beats out Tom Brady, but I would certainly hand the MVP to Cam Newton. He's been the most impressive player in the NFL this season, and it's to a team that I thought was a 7-win team going into the year without their superstar talent on paper, Kelvin Benjamin, and he's pretty much, for the most part, wide receiver going into the year, at least, outside of Greg Olsen at tight end, has had and me, pretty much, at wide receiver. And look at guys like Corey Philly Brown, Jericho Cotchery, Ted Ginn Jr. These are not superstar players that have amounted to anything at this moment in time in the NFL for the most part, and yet he's making them look like world beaters. Sure, the NFC South isn't the greatest defensive division in the world, but to go undefeated in the NFL, which they are currently right now, is something that doesn't happen very often, obviously. And Cam Newton has really developed tremendously in the passing game. He's still running a little bit, which means some people get worried, but he's still running over guys at this moment of his age in his career. But he's developed dramatically in the passing game, helps he has a top three defense. But to go undefeated, do what he's been doing, he's been dominating the league with no all-pro players outside of perhaps Greg Olsen. And it's not like Jonathan Stewart, who's dinged up right now, is going to be going to Canton anytime soon. So he's done it with, pretty above mediocre parts. I would argue that there's three or four NFC teams that have better parts around him than he does, and yet here he is, better than all of them, more productive, and more importantly, undefeated for his team aspect.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan, while we're talking about the Super Bowl, the NFL, give us the two teams that you think right now have the best chance to appear in the Super Bowl, and then tell us, if these two teams do make it, how do you see it coming out? Who's the winner?
For sure. In the AFC, I'm going to go with the New England Patriots. I think their toughest matchup might be with the Pittsburgh Steelers in the divisional round. I think the Steelers will be the sixth seed, automatically play the one seed New England. That will be a great game to watch. I think they'll get likely by Denver in the AFC title game. So I got the Pats in the AFC. And I'm going to go a little dark horse on you in the NFC. I think Seattle will beat Carolina, but then we'll have to go on the road to face Green Bay, who I think will turn around despite abysmal season offensively from Aaron Rodgers and his pretty mediocre receiving core at the moment, not healthy. But I'm going to go the Packers in the NFC, going on and taking on the Patriots, New England Patriots, excuse me. I'm going to go with New England winning the Super Bowl and give me 34-28 Patriots, Brady over Rodgers. Television, Twitter, social media, America goes bonkers. I think that would be a great matchup, all-time matchup, personally, for me, if that were to happen. And I'm going to lean with Green Bay, though I pick Carolina, Arizona, and Seattle. You could argue have a better chance at the moment. But I'm going to go a little dark horse. I'm going with the Packers. I think their best football is ahead of them. And I think they're kind of just sneaking around the chicken coop. Nobody's talking about them. They're going to win their division. May have to play Arizona in the Dome, which I think could favor them. And then potentially take on Carolina or Seattle, which I think they match up fairly well and come off that bitter NFC title loss last year. I think they'll get back. I'm going to go Patriots repeating.
Great. Hey, Dan, I want to go back to something we talked about a little bit earlier, and we were talking about Kevin Sumlin and the situation that he's found himself in at Texas A&M. You know, maybe it's his fault. Maybe it's not his fault. I have no idea. Personally, you know, with his two quarterbacks, why they're both leaving. But with all that being said, certainly he is on the hot seat. What does he have to do immediately, in your opinion, to be able to make it through the rest of this season and then progress into next year? I know we talked about it before.
Yeah, I think it's certainly mostly his fault. I think that's the reason why some quarterbacks, some coaches, I should say, cater to quarterbacks more so than ever. These kids are individually about themselves, more so because social media and people like ourselves tout these guys so much and treat them like kings that they are only looking out for themselves. So when they get treated like kings in recruiting visits and then they come to the real thing and then they have to battle and fight and claw for a certain position that doesn't go their way, they say, forget it, I'm done with you, moving on to something where somebody will cater to me. So that's always difficult in this time of day. But you really got to just find a superstar quarterback, get a little lucky, and hope that that guy rises to the occasion. But obviously none of that happened with Kevin Sumlin. He's going to find a quarterback ASAP, or more than likely he will be done after next season, in my opinion. I think they will give him one more year, assuming this isn't the most embarrassing bowl loss in A&M history. But he's going to have to find a quarterback, because right now they're not loaded with any talent. Hubernak, you know, for the most part, wasn't ranked as even a star coming out, transferred from Oklahoma State. So some people feel that he's not the answer. Maybe they'll bring a freshman, which many are anticipating. But if they can't get this offense turned around, they'll be at a laughing stock of the SEC West potentially, which would be saying quite a bit, because we've had some struggling offenses such as Auburn. So he's going to have to get a quarterback immediately. That's his number one goal in life right now in terms of A&M football, because he's got some pretty darn good receivers. Christian Kirk's one of the better freshmen in America. Speedy Noyell, Josh Reynolds. They got a lot of good weapons, and they have to rely on their receivers in passing game, because Kevin Sumlin's not going to run downhill. They're not a running team, so you can't worry about your running back like Trey Carson. You got to get a quarterback that can complete forward passes with a good receiver, and that's the one issue in the spread offense. If your quarterback's not doing well, he had Case Keenum do wonders for him at Houston before he took the A&M job. They embarrassed Penn State on New Year's Day just a few years ago when he was there. They're far from that team offensively, so they need to get back to that quickly, just anywhere close to that if he wants to save his job. So nowadays, unless you're Alabama, occasionally a Florida State, if you don't have a stud quarterback, you're going to struggle in college football. That's just the way it is right now, because everything's run through the quarterback. So they better get one and decide who it is, because the old saying goes, if you have two or three, you have zero, and that's a disaster spelled in the SEC when you're going against 4 and 5 stars athletes every possession.
All right, something new, folks. We're going to do in honor of Christmas this week, and Dan and Ronnie are going to jump in here. Instead of buy, sell, and hold, we all know the old bearded man is coming to town.
That's
so,
right.
Ronnie, Dan, I'm going to call out a name, and you tell me if Santa Claus were bringing a gift to these people, what would they give this person? You can make it as serious as you want to make it, or as crazy as you want to make it.
It's what that person would want Santa to bring them?
Yeah.
Okay.
What Santa should bring. They might not necessarily want it, but what Santa should bring.
So. Okay.
All right. We'll start with Ronnie, since you're sitting here and got the toothpick in your mouth.
Okay. Thank you.
Santa Claus should bring Gus Malzahn what?
A defensive coordinator.
A defensive coordinator. I have to agree with you on that. And who would you bring?
Anybody can
just
get
anybody.
Just name somebody.
All right, Dan, what should Santa Claus bring Gus Malzahn?
Wow, I think that I would agree with that, but I'll go a little off the cuff here. I'll go with a 1 week vacation. I think Gus Malzahn needs a few days to think about this past offseason, or forget about this past season, I should say, and look forward to the offseason of how he can think, ponder of improving this offense. More so getting a defensive coordinator, I think, to show up. There's still defensive issues of lacking to get after the passer. So he needs some time to relax and think of something positive, and maybe can the light bulb will turn on and they'll get something situated there, because certainly this was not a memorable season by any means.
All right.
Good choice, Dan. Hey, maybe they could get him the book by Norman Vincent Peale, the power of positive thinking.
Hey, if we were talking about Will Muschamp, I would nominate Anger Management for Dummies.
All right, Dan, back to you. Nick Saban, what should Santa Claus bring Nick Saban?
I'm going to go with a sleeveless hoodie from his good old buddy Bill Belichick. I think he's going to have to roll. He's going to need to roll up the sleeves and give Derrick Henry maybe 100 carries in those two games if they want to win another national championship, which I heard Nick Saban enjoys doing. So I'm going to go with a sleeveless hoodie, roll up those sleeves, win this game in the trenches. I think Alabama and faithful would enjoy that. I'm going to say a sleeveless hoodie. I doubt he goes that way, that look, but maybe... Maybe he'll go for it. Never
mind. I would like to see that look.
Oh, that's a good one, Dan. I hate to follow you. I'm going to ask to go first from now.
All right, Ronnie. What should Santa Claus bring Nick Saban?
Well, being an Alabama fan, he's got to bring him a national title,
oh,
so a trophy.
Gosh. I knew when I put that one down what Ronnie would say. All right, here would be an interesting one. Ronnie, you get to start it off.
Okay.
Santa Claus should bring Kevin Sumlin what?
A moving van.
I have to agree with you. All right, Dan, what should Santa Claus bring Kevin Sumlin?
I'm going to go with some extra strength Tylenol. He's probably got a big headache, so I think he's going to need a few of those just to get over. He might need some extra after the bowl game, maybe some extra for the offseason, so maybe like a year supply of some extra strength Tylenol, because certainly I'm sure he's had a few headaches just in the past few days itself.
Yeah, that'll fit right in with the moving van. He can use all that at once. All right, Dan, back to you. Santa Claus should bring Cam Newton what?
If it's possible, I'd like to have a time machine, if you could. Obviously, he had a great year at Auburn in the Heisman and National Championship. But I feel like if the Super Bowl and the postseason started today, I think he'd get the MVP, he'd win a Super Bowl, everything is working perfectly for the Panthers at the moment, but as we've seen time after time, sometimes when you get a bye week, some teams are trending and playing hot, you come off a week, you don't know how the next 3 weeks are going to go either, so you never know with time, you know, Father Time always catches up to certain teams depending on their players. So I would like to go a little off the cuff and go time machine, because right now, after the present, nothing is better than Cam Newton, but he's looking forward to the future as one of the better players in football right now with potential Super Bowl MVP in the wings here.
All right. Ronnie is smiling from one ear to the other here. So Ronnie.
No, I don't have anything off the cuff. Right. I was kind of agreeing with Dan there. If Santa Claus was going to bring Cam anything, I would say he would bring him in MVP trophy from the NFL.
I hear you. I'm proud to hear you say that. You know, I thought really you would say something like a laptop computer or something. All right.
I passed, okay. I could have, but yeah, I didn't.
It would have been easy.
There you go.
All right, Ronnie. Santa Claus is coming to town, and he is bringing Derrick Henry what?
He's bringing Derrick Henry a honorable, decent agent.
And that will make him a ton of money.
Absolutely.
All right. Dan, what is Derrick Henry getting for Christmas?
He's going to get a Sleep Number mattress because he needs to get some rest before the bowl game, in between the second game, and after the second game, because I think he's going to get I'm really looking forward to seeing how many carries. It's going to be between 90 and 100, in my opinion. And he's going to need some sleep because they're going to use him quite a bit. And I know college kids can bounce back from anything pretty much, but certainly a sleep mattress from one that has one, it does you wonders, and I think it'll do Derrick Henry the same.
Hey, Dan, I hope he's not hanging out with Kim Dicci from Ole Miss.
Yeah. too soon.
All right. Let's see. This be Dan, right?
Yeah.
All right, Dan, what should Santa Claus bring Steve Spurrier?
Yeah, I'm going to go with some new golf clubs. I'm sure he's got plenty of to choose from, but he enjoys golfing. The old ball coach enjoys that. The head ball coach, as he likes to be called, enjoys golfing. So give him a golf club if you don't want to, some new golf clubs, if you don't want to maybe just give him his own maybe golf place or golf shop, because he's always loving that. So some new golf clubs for the head ball coach wouldn't be a bad idea.
All right, and he'll have time to use them,
that's
I guess.
Right.
So, Ronnie, Steve Spurrier.
I was kind of along the same lines with Dan there with golf, and I would say Santa Claus will bring him a membership to the golf course of his of his pleasure.
Perfect.
All right, so neither one of you putting Steve back in coaching.
No, he's done.
He's on the golf course.
He's done.
Okay, yep. Ronnie, one of your guys again. Funny how you get to start these Alabama ones off. Now, Georgia Bulldog, we might see. So,
what's Santa?
What should Santa Claus bring Kirby Smart?
An SEC East title next year.
Boy, that would be sweet. That would be a change for Georgia.
That's
too.
Right.
All right, Dan, what do you think Kirby Smart should get?
I'm going to say a big old box of Lucky Charms. I think he needs that to take with him to go to Georgia. Certainly they've had some issues with injuries, winning big games, whatever the bad luck may be. They have lots of it seems. I'm not going to say it's all luck, but I think that would be a good start. Keep Nick Chubb healthy. Hopefully get some luck and don't have the entire defense turn pro. So I'm going to go with cereal boxes, Lucky Charms that some kid liked, and I think that would help him. Maybe some rabbit feed if you want some good luck charm. Because if he has that with Georgia, the sky's the limit for Kirby Smart.
Right. Yeah. All right. Good one. Lucky Charms is good cereal.
Yes, it is.
I like to eat the little marshmallows. Marshmallows,
yeah.
Leave the cereal alone. Okay, Dan, back to you. The old Mad Hatter down at LSU. What should Santa Claus bring Les Miles?
I'm going to say a bathtub, and it's not for Les Miles. I think this is going to be for Leonard Fournette. Might as well get this out of the way. I think Leonard Fournette could have potentially the greatest bowl game potentially in college football history. I'm projecting 35 to 40 carries and over 300 yards rushing against the worst Power 5 run defense in Texas Tech. I think he's going to break and shatter some records. He's going to need a bathtub, ice up, as some say, after the game. I think a bathtub, a nice tub, if you will, for Leonard Fournette, his star player, who, of course, coming back next year, might as well use that because he's going to need that a few games next year in the SEC and against Alabama, et cetera. So they have a good old bathtub for Fournette. He's going to use it, and he's going to need one probably, an ice up after a big-time, I think, bold performance against the Red Raiders' run defense.
All right, running. What should Les Miles get?
I think, well, you know, when you think of Les Miles and Louisiana, you know, it's a little bit different world down in New Orleans area. You know, voodoo's big in New Orleans. So I think Les should get a voodoo doll and the face should be of the athletic director from LSU. So that's what Santa should bring him.
And how about one of Nick Saban?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, two more, and this is including a lot of people here, so be careful on this one, Ronnie.
Okay.
What should Santa Claus bring Auburn fans?
They should bring Auburn fans a white towel to throw it during the ball game.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh. Because Memphis is going to put it on them. A white towel, a surrender towel.
That hurts. All right, Dan, let's get away from Ronnie in a hurry. So what should Santa bring Auburn fans?
I'm going to say a video game system with only one option, not power on, but just reset. Because they need to reset the season, unfortunately, I think. If that's possible, they would do that in a heartbeat because it just felt like it was yesterday for me personally. Or I just remember the Jeremy Johnson hype, and I'm glad I didn't buy into it or buy any stock into it, but I thought it was going to be, worst case, a nice 9-win season. 10-win season potentially for Auburn, and it hasn't been a season to remember, and it would have been great to reset the button, start over, pretty much even since the Louisville game where they struggled. That was kind of a sign for things to come. So I would say a video game system with one option, reset button.
Yeah, that would be a dandy.
It would be.
I would like to have that myself.
Absolutely.
You know, this season really seems like to me it didn't happen. I mean, it's just,
you wish it.
Yeah, where did it go?
You wish it hadn't happened.
All right, Dan, you'll finish us up, starting us off here. What should Santa Claus bring Alabama fans?
I'm going to say get the popcorn and get a new couch or new sofa. Sit down, try to enjoy these games. Some people like to just stand during the whole game, but sit back, relax, get the recliner out, the lazy boy with some popcorn, and try to enjoy potentially two games, which I think is going to happen. So that's what I would have Alabama fans receive from Santa Claus.
All right, Ronnie, I can't wait to hear what you're going to say.
Santa Claus should bring every Alabama fan a new crimson T-shirt that says 2016 National Champions. That's what Santa should bring us.
All right. I was going more on the lines of a crying towel after they lose the National Championship.
Ain't going to need that.
Oklahoma.
Ain't going to need that.
Hey, real quick, Dan, As I brought up Crying Towel, if Alabama meets Oklahoma in the national championship, who do you think wins that game?
Yeah, I'm gonna roll with Alabama. I'm gonna roll with the Tide. I think that would be obviously the matchup that most are looking for. I think we're gonna see Bama Clemson, but regardless, I like Alabama over Oklahoma or Clemson in the national championship. I think it's gonna be a very contested game, more like a 27-24, much lower scoring game that we'll likely see in the Orange Bowl. But I like Alabama over anybody right now, and I think they're going to sweat it out, certainly, because they're not going to blow anybody out offensively, barring some defensive touchdowns or special team scores, which they've shown, obviously, through the season. So I think they're the best team in the country. But I think Clemson, Oklahoma can't play with them every down. I think it's going to come down to the wire, and potentially they might win on a kick, which we've seen them lose on kicks before. So I think the advantage in special teams is something to look out for with this postseason run. And I think it's going to be a low-scoring battle fest because Alabama's probably going to grind out some possessions. And whether it's Oklahoma or Clemson, the key is can Alabama have a 6-7, couple 6-7-minute drives, keep that defense fresh and healthy, and keep that explosive offense, because Clemson, Oklahoma, in my opinion, are probably right now the two best offenses in college football, better than any offense that Alabama has played so far. So their defense could be tired if the offense can't put together a few long drives, which I think they will. So I'm going to roll with Alabama, but it will be close games, 27-24 type of game in that national championship. Right. I think they should hammer Michigan State per se by, I think, two touchdowns, 27-14 type of game.
Dan, if I'm understanding you right, you think Oklahoma and Clemson offenses are both better than Auburn?
just the second team, just barely.
Okay. Hey, Dan, thanks for joining us, and hope you have a very Merry Christmas, and Santa Claus brings you whatever you want. Man, we appreciate you joining us this year, and hope the best for you in the upcoming year.
You got it, guys. You guys are the best. You have a great weekend. Enjoy the start of the bowl games, and hope you finish your Christmas shopping. You get everything you guys get this holiday season. It's been a pleasure as always. You guys have a great weekend.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it, bud. Have a Merry Christmas.
All right. You too,
guys.
Dan the Man.
Dan the Man Vista, Campus Insider.
We'll talk to him again until next year.
That's right. Campus Insider, based out of Chicago, Illinois, joins us every Thursday, and
great guy.
Book of knowledge, I'll tell you.
All right, time for a break. We come back, we'll be talking a little bowl action.
Rex is not with us today.
That's
he is in a meeting, so he is not able to.
He's probably fishing.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Yeah, he's in a school of them, is what it is.
We have got a ton of picks, so stay with
us.
Sports Talk Live 95.5.
Could y'all have timed that any better?
Perfect.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Derek Scudder. The perpetrators of one of Birmingham's most notorious crimes of the 80s have been granted parole. In 1983, brothers Kenneth and Michael Thornton and Stanley Wilson abducted Wanda Jones Miller from Baby Doe's Matchless Mine restaurant on top of Red Mountain. Miller is now a victim service officer with the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office and one of the best-known victims advocates in the state. In a parole hearing, she gave her blessing for their freedom, saying the decision was her own and she felt it was the end of a long story. 66-year-old Charles Collins has been sentenced to 6 months in prison, 6 months in home detention, and ordered to pay more than $80,000 in restitution for embezzling over $40,000 from Birmingham's Temple Emmanuel, where he was employed as an accountant manager. Summerton is placed in the top 10 of a list of most conservative cities in America. The small town of under 2,500 on the Jefferson-Walker County line came in at number 7 in the ranking, compiled by political website CrowdPack, the ranking based on political donations. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Bessemer police are investigating a robbery and fatal shooting at a Kangaroo gas station early this morning. 27-year-old Trenton James Way of Dolomite was killed around 1:30 during the robbery. Four life sentences have been added to earlier charges of first-degree robbery, possession of a firearm following an earlier conviction of a violent felony, and receiving stolen property. 23-year-old Biquan Allen of Montgomery is charged in the armed robbery of two people near the Alabama State University campus late last year. Margaret Allen will be leading the Montgomery Public Schools for a while longer. The Board of Education has voted to extend the superintendent's contract for another 2 years. The extension was granted following an evaluation that gave her a grade that's slightly above 4 out of a possible 5. The district's low ACT scores, the only negative mark against her. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News.
A very wise person once said, "You have to dream before your dreams can come true." For many schoolgirls in rural India and other countries, their dreams of a better life will simply never come true without that one essential ingredient. I am speaking of an education. When children live great distances from their schools, walking is not only difficult and dangerous, it can be impossible. That is why Child Fund launched the Dream Bike Program. By giving bicycles to thousands of schoolgirls in need, Child Fund is helping them safely get to school and absolutely get the education that will indeed help them break the cycle of poverty.
To learn more about Child Fund International and its Dream Bike Program, please visit childfund.org. That's childfund.org.
Let's ride together to see that children's dreams become a reality.
Child Fund. Safe passage to a better future.
In money news, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates, ending 7 years of an extraordinary measure to combat the damage from the 2008 financial crisis. Fed officials voted unanimously to raise the key federal funds rate to a range of 0.25% to 0.5%. Shortly after the Fed's announcement, Wells Fargo became the first major bank to announce it's raising its prime lending rate up from 3.25% to 3.5%. The gains are not so big as they were at the open this morning, but the main stock indices were moving higher again after the Federal Reserve made its long-expected move. New cars and trucks averaged a record 24.3 miles per gallon last year. The Environmental Protection Agency says the fuel economy was up 0.2 mile per gallon in 2014, thanks to technical improvements that helped offset resurgent demand for larger vehicles. However, as falling gas prices help rekindle the popularity of SUVs, the prospect of future fuel economy gains appear uncertain. I'm Derek Scudder. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Man, can you play it like that, Ronnie?
Oh, you better believe it. And play that trumpet.
I can't play anything.
I do believe that's a saxophone.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. Oh, I wasn't going to say anything.
I can play that one too.
And the only reason I thought that is
because of Bill Clinton.
Yeah, Bill Clinton.
Because of Bill Clinton, you learned to play the saxophone.
I can see why you blocked that out, Ronnie.
Bill Clinton taught some instrument. He gives some instrument lessons.
Well, all righty. Hey, before we get censored and taken off the air, a couple of things. One thing here, Jason, the all freshman team is out.
Now, what is that? I know it's a freshman, but
it's the All-American freshman team.
All-American.
Yeah, I'll quickly go through the ones that matter to us at all. I think there's like 11 on each one, some of the names that you might be familiar with. Quarterback from UCLA, Josh Rosen. He is a freshman All-American. We move on down. Of course, certainly Calvin Ridley from Alabama. Whoa, that went away. There it is. Calvin Ridley from Alabama is also a freshman All-American. Christian Kirk from Texas A&M, All-American. Deion Kane from Clemson, freshman All-American. Connor Williams from Texas, another freshman All-American. Mitch Hight from Clemson, again, All-American. LSU, can't even pronounce the name. He was a lineman, 6'5", 327. Couldn't even come close to pronouncing his name. He was an All-American. And then another kid from Texas, Patrick Vaughn from Texas, All-American. Will Noble from University of Houston. I say all that to say this. There's 11 kids mentioned here as freshman All-American. 8 out of 11 are from the South. not from the SEC per se, but from just the South in general.
How many did you call out on Clemson there? There were two or three.
Two or three from Clemson. I believe it was two. Two from Clemson. But eight out of the 11 were from the South. Defensively, you have Adrian Key from LSU, C.C. Jefferson from Florida, Terry Beckham Jr. from Missouri, Darren Payne from Alabama. Now, all four of those are from the SEC. Then you've got a Jefferson from Texas, a Smith from USC, Wilson TCU, and then a Orr from Arizona State, Fitzpatrick from Alabama, James from Florida State, and then a Whitehead from Pittsburgh. So at least half of those kids or more on the defensive side of the ball were from the South, and five of them were from the SEC. Surprise anyone that the better players are in the South. And then I piggyback that to say this, Jason. You know, we've heard all year long that the SEC probably wasn't as good, wasn't as strong, wasn't the best conference, in the nation possibly this year, or certainly it wasn't. The distance between the SEC and some of the other conferences had narrowed. They'd kind of caught up with them. Well, just so everyone knows, the SEC out-of-conference schedule this year, let me repeat that, the SEC out-of-conference schedule record was 34-9. So what does that say?
Yeah, but it would be interesting to see what the records of those teams were, because, you know, you play out of conference.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's not.
I agree. It's not the strongest competition.
How do you think the SEC does in the bowl matchups?
I think they have a good bowl series. I think the SEC will lose maybe two, no more than three. And I would say more in the line of two games.
And you think Auburn will be one of those?
I do.
Bless you, Ronnie.
I'm sorry, and it's not because it's you're sitting there or anything like that. I just think Memphis is. I mean, they're good ball club, and like Dan was saying, their quarterback is going to be a first round draft pick. I mean, he is a legitimate NFL prospect at quarterback. So,
all right, how many SEC teams do we have in bowls? You know that right off.
I don't know that right off the top of my head. I would say, well, you got two divisions. At minimum, you're gonna have five in eight, or roughly ten. And I don't have that, you know, specifically, but around ten.
All right, let's say there's 10 teams playing bowl game. Give me a percent. Let's do it percentage wise. What percent does the SEC win?
If there's 10, 80%.
80%. Boy, you are strong on
it. I'm strong on it. Well, what are you? If there's 10, what do you think?
I'm going to say 60.
Six out of 10. Okay.
Yep.
Well, we'll have some of them when we start scrolling through here and doing our picks. So.
And do we need to start telling people to get prepared to get pulled over?
Yeah, because this will take a while. If we're going to pick all the games, this will take a little bit of time for our picks. So, folks, you need to be prepared. You need to pull over safely over on the side of the road, probably not even off the road. Get in a parking lot somewhere.
Yeah, it would be better. I wish we had the alert system going, and we could put out. I wonder if we can get them to sound the tornado.
I wonder if they can they do a voice over that?
Over that speaker?
You know, I wonder. Or is it just a?
It would be really interesting.
If it's just a, you know, just a siren, or can they transmit sound?
You know, that is a word that I get made fun of for saying.
Transmit?
No, siren. Ever had
You get made fun of for a lot of words, Jason.
In Coleman, though, any of them sound right. How do you say it?
What?
That.
A siren.
You say it just like I do, and they make fun of me, so you get made fun of
me. I do.
Too.
That's what I say.
Siren. Well, in Coleman, you can say siren. Siren. I don't know. Jay, how do you say that word?
Not sure.
He's not sure either. He's afraid to say it.
He's afraid to say it.
All right, let's kick it off.
All right, we're going to go to our picks here. And again, games start this Saturday, December the 19th. So bowl season is upon us. All right, Jason. Do you want me to give the time or just you may just give the teams? Okay, Arizona, New Mexico.
Arizona.
I agree. Arizona. BYU and Utah.
Oh, man.
That'd be a good one. That one, let me say, that one would be on at 2:30, and that's Central Time, our time, and that's on ABC. So, as Dan said, that'd be a good one to watch. Both those teams
Dan
are 9
called it the Holy War.
That's right. Both those teams are 9-3.
I'm going to go with Utah.
I'm going with BYU. Ohio, Appalachian State.
Boy, I'm upset about that one. I'm going with Appalachian State.
Okay. Wise choice. They're 10-2. I go with Appalachian State, too.
They blind squirrel.
That's right. Well, here's going to be more difficult. San Jose State or Georgia State?
I'm going Georgia State because Auburn played San Jose State.
Okay. That's a good reason. I will go Georgia State, too. Arkansas State or Louisiana Tech?
I'm going Arkansas State in honor of Gus.
There you go. I'll do the same. Arkansas State. Western Kentucky, South Florida.
I'm going Western Kentucky.
I agree. I do as well. Akron or Utah State? Do you know who the head coach is at Akron?
The man that makes the most money.
Used to be the head coach at Auburn.
Bowden.
Yep.
Oh, gosh.
Yep.
Terry Bowden.
They're 7-5.
Dumplin.
Dumplin. Utah State.
Like
yeah. Have you seen him lately?
No.
Yeah, he looked like a little Michelin man. Utah State. Akron or Utah State?
Utah State.
I knew you was going to do that. I'll go Akron. Temple and Toledo.
Temple.
I'll go Toledo. Boise State, Northern Illinois.
Boise.
I agree. Georgia Southern, Bowling Green.
Bowling Green.
I agree. Middle Tennessee, Western Michigan.
Western Michigan.
I go Middle Tennessee. San Diego State or Cincinnati?
Cincinnati.
Just because of
Tommy Tuberville.
Tommy Tuberville. I'll go San Jose State because Tommy Tuberville is at Cincinnati. Connecticut and Marshall.
Marshall.
I agree. Miami of Florida or Washington State?
Miami of Florida.
I agree. Washington
or get it on because Mark Rick's
coming to town. That's right. Washington or Southern Miss?
Washington.
I take Southern Miss. Indiana or Duke?
Is that basketball?
It might be more people watching
it. Yeah, that sounds like a basketball match.
That's right.
I'm going to go with Duke.
I'll do the same. Tulsa, Virginia Tech.
I got to go Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
It's the Beamer's
got to go. Yeah. He's got to go out on top. So I'm with you, Frank Beamer. UCLA or Nebraska?
UCLA.
I agree. I hate to. I'd like to go with Nebraska because, you know, their head coach is Mike Riley, who played at Alabama. But
even makes me want to be UCLA more.
But I think it'll be UCLA. That's who I'm picking. Pittsburgh Navy.
I'm going Pittsburgh.
I'm going Navy. Central Michigan and Minnesota.
Minnesota.
I agree. California or the Air Force Academy?
California.
I'm going Air Force. North Carolina and Baylor.
North Carolina.
I go Baylor. Nevada, Colorado State.
Colorado State.
I agree. LSU, Texas Tech.
LSU.
I agree. Auburn, Memphis.
Auburn.
Now, for those who are interested, that will be week from next Wednesday, December the 30th, on ESPN.
And if you start down that way, holler at me because I might have you some parking and you won't have to pay
to park. That's right. 11 o'clock kickoff.
Oh, most of those folks won't even be up at 11 o'clock.
That's right. Exactly. Okay. North Carolina State, Mississippi State.
Mississippi State.
I agree. Texas A&M and Louisville.
Louisville.
I agree. USC, Wisconsin.
USC.
I agree. Michigan State, Alabama.
Oh, man.
Oh, you can't say it, can you? I'll say it for you. Alabama.
Yeah, that's it.
Roll Tide. That game will be Thursday, December 31st, 7 o'clock start on ESPN. The Oklahoma-Clemson game is, I think, 4 o'clock start, 3 o'clock. We'll get to it in a minute. Both of them are still on ESPN.
A lot of Alabama fans, Ronnie, not happy about playing New Year's Eve because they can't get with their drinking ritual and know who won the game and so forth. So, and I'm not making that up. That is a I've heard
that's
several
a complaint,
of them.
Huh?
Trust me.
Yeah, well, they could be playing December the 19th.
Right.
You know.
We'll swap.
Yeah, exactly. Houston and Florida State.
Florida State.
I'm with you, Florida State. Oklahoma, Clemson, 3 o'clock start time.
Oakley.
I'm with you, take Oklahoma. Tennessee and Northwestern.
Tennessee.
I'll take Northwestern. That's my two losses, Auburn, Tennessee.
I wonder how I think I've picked more percentage than what I said they would.
I think you have to. Michigan and Florida.
Michigan.
I'm going to have to go Florida. I've already picked mine. Notre Dame and Ohio State.
Notre Dame.
You're going Notre Dame. Well, I'm going Ohio State. Stanford
take
and Iowa.
That, Urban.
Stanford and Iowa.
Stanford.
Agree. Oklahoma State, Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
You think Kim Dicha gets to play?
No, he's going to be jumping out some windows and
what about that?
Flying. And
but
did you hear his explanation of that?
And I didn't hear his explanation. I probably know why, because they found about 7 or 8 rolled up doobies in there, and he jumps through a glass window and then over a 15-foot wall.
But you would have too, Ronnie.
Oh, I would have?
Yes.
Okay.
He
saw somebody after him?
Somebody was after him and screaming they were going to kill him or hurt him or something, and so he didn't have any other escape route other
is that
than
right?
that window. So.
Hmm. It's funny how you hear strange things when you...
And I think, actually...
Under an altered state.
He not on the synthetic marijuana?
He says no. He says absolutely not. Plus, you can't drug test that stuff. But that stuff, that's another subject.
That is...
That's some nasty stuff right there.
That is actually, from what I've heard...
Well, it's much worse than smoking weed. Yeah, it is. Okay, Penn State and Georgia.
Penn State.
I'm taking Georgia.
I'm going Georgia.
Kansas State, Arkansas.
Arkansas.
I'm surprised you did that, but I agree, Arkansas. Oregon, TCU.
Oregon.
I agree. West Virginia, Arizona State.
West Virginia, Arizona State. Arizona State.
All right. And then the last, the most important game, the national championship game. We both got Alabama in the game against Oklahoma. Jason, who do you pick, Alabama or Oklahoma, 2016 national champions.
Ladies and gentlemen, your 2016 national champion is...
Yes.
Coach Bob Stoops and the Oklahoma Sooners.
I figured you'd say that. And, of course, my pick would be the Alabama Crimson Tide winning the 2016 national championship. As I said, would have happened before the season ever started.
And if you count national championships as Alabama fans do, that will be number 37.
Well, so. We count them as we win them. That's all
Alabama
I'm saying.
If Alabama was in a conference that had somebody win a national championship, they claim it.
So, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how else do you get
all
a
I
national
know is
championship?
There's a bunch of trophies down there at the Paul Bryant Museum. That's all I can tell you.
Oh, yeah, there is. I don't.
And it says national championship.
You can buy those anywhere.
Oh, okay. yeah, I hear you.
Oh, Alabama, probably at times the best team in the nation this year, at times not.
I agree.
I think,
you say that about Oklahoma. They got beat by Texas.
Yeah, but I think Oklahoma has Alabama's number as they showed 2 years ago.
Nah, 2 years ago.
And. I think they're going to do it again. I'll tell you this, and I don't want anybody to know this, so keep it between me and you, Ronnie.
Okay, all right.
I will be pulling for Oklahoma.
Of course you will. Of course you will. And I'm telling you, I pulled for Auburn when I played Florida State.
No, you did.
I most certainly did.
You're one of the few.
But you're not.
There was.
You're
there
one
was,
of the masses that, even if they're playing a national championship,
right,
you're against
because
them.
I remember when Auburn played Oregon, Alabama fans buying Oregon shirts, getting on Facebook, changing their picture to the Oregon duck and the O. And So
you don't think that's all in fun, no?
For some.
What fun for
and
you,
then,
though?
No, and then you have people like Eddie Gwynn.
Oh, hey, it's 5:52. Are we coming back or are we signing off of this?
I think it's time to sign off and call it a year.
I agree.
All right, folks. We will be back next year. So until then, I hope each of you have a safe and
That's
happy
right.
New Year. Before that, I hope you have a great Christmas. Santa Claus brings
sure.
you half of what you want.
Enjoy your water skiing and your sea doing.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. May your team win the bowl
game. Whoever
it
is, yeah, may they win and try to keep it nice
that's
and
right.
civil, Eddie. All right, we're going to call it a year. Thanks for joining us, being with us. We'll be back in 2016. Until then, War Eagle.
And a big old Roll Tide.
We'll see you next year, folks.
Merry
Thanks for
Christmas.
Joining us.
Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
Merry Christmas from Live 95, WRJM LP, Coleman.
Did you know that you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill? Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Coleman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now, Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer to the service, or a bundle with the Cyber Broadband cellular service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you signed up for broadband service to another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition's standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo, it's tough work. Somebody's got to do it.
Hey, guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Do you love Live 95? Do you love Christmas music? Do you need a last-minute tax write-off? Live 95 is looking for sponsors for our week of Christmas music. Beginning Friday, December 18th, you can sponsor an entire hour for $50. We can record your Christmas message to the town of Cullman or play your own personal message of tidings and joy. Email us at studio@live95cullman.com and we'll work with you to plan your hour of music. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from our family to yours at Live 95.
Kids Loving Kids is working on a local toy box drive just in time for Christmas. Kids Loving Kids is a 501c3 organization founded in 2012 whose mission it is to develop philanthropy skills through multiple projects, empowering students to make a difference in the lives of other kids. The organization is taking donations through December the 19th for new unwrapped toys and clothes. For more information about the organization and specific toys requested, you can search for their Facebook page, search for Kids Loving Kids. Shortly before Christmas, they'll be setting up a one-day market where parents that are in need can come work with middle school-age volunteers to wrap the gifts and stuff a few stockings. Here's a partial list of local businesses who are participating in this project. The Cullman Power Board, Red Door Cafe, TNT Motors, Best Way Rent to Own, Connie Phillips CPA, Cullman Phone and Tablet, Classic to Sassy, Cullman Jefferson Gas, Shimmer and Glow, Vincent's Furniture, Happy Homes Real Estate, New Vision Real Estate, Cullman Funeral Home, the Cullman County Sheriff's Department, Zeb Little's Attorney's Office, Bella Fair Salon and Day Spa, the North End Title Max, Mitch Smith Chevrolet, Bill Smith GMC, First Southern Financial, Berkeley Bob's, and many more. Live 95 wants to help Kids Loving Kids promote the joys of giving and helping others. Happy Holidays and Merry Christmas from all of us here at Live 95.
One, two, three, four!
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet, to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal ya, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a million miles. To talk about myself, I'm sorry. I hope that you will. Did you ever make it out of that town where nothing ever happened? It's no secret that the both of us are running.